we'll pick up where we left off last week, or we'll pick up somewhere and go from there. But I've been talking about on the theme of allowing our children to pass through the fires of Moloch. And what we see going on in the world today in this country, sacrificing children, you know, now to the COVID thing, but before, you know, the whole abortion holocaust. Leviticus 18:21. And thou shalt not let thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. And during the Lord's earthly ministry, he spoke. And in Luke 17:2, he said, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And here we see the whole hierarchy of the medical bureaucracy in D.C. and all pushing things. The little kids now. There's something seriously wrong there. And I spent a couple, 3 weeks talking about that. I guess now we'll talk a little bit about, you know, our children. Our children are gifts from God. I spoke before of how it says, you know, children are a heritage of the Lord. That speaks of an inheritance. And as I said, when you get an inheritance, it's not really yours because you're going to pass it on. You're going to give an account for it. Psalm 127:3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And you wouldn't know that today if you look at the attitude that most people have towards their children and towards having children, and women who are even proud of killing their own children in their womb. But they're the gift of God. They're given to us for our trust. They're given to us to raise, to instruct, to protect. I think of Paul's words to young Timothy, who was a young pastor at the church at Ephesus, and Paul wrote to him a couple of different verses. 2 Timothy 3:15, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. And then he goes on to talk about those scriptures, and I won't belabor that, but he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The plenary, the whole thing, verbal inspiration. And that word inspiration there literally means God breathed. All scripture is breathed by God. And it's given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. I didn't mean without sin. That word perfect there speaks of complete. It gives us what we need to know to be what we're supposed to be. And God inspired that, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This book, Sola Scriptura, I don't need the teachings of men. I don't need the traditions of men. I've got the Word of God. And Timothy, from a young man, knew these things. Well, how would he, from a young man, know that? A chapter ahead, back in 2 Timothy, back in chapter 2, Paul said to Timothy, chapter 2, and, second, chapter 1, in verse 5. And he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, you know, that faith that was in his grandmother and his mother, the Lord passed on to Timothy. It's all the Lord's doing. It's the Lord that does it, but he uses people. He uses parents and grandparents. You know, I think in my own life, I have people I didn't know. My third great-grandpa, pastor of the church out there in Perry. My second great-grandpa that was a sergeant in the Marion Light Artillery. Their faith, their testimonies. You go out and read their tombstones. I wasn't going there, but just start thinking about it. I was Diane, the first time I took her through that cemetery and showing the graves of my ancestors. And reading there, their testimonies cut into stone. And Diane said, these are my people. See? It's not a blood thing. She said, these are my people. And God uses that. And again, he brings one like a coal out of the fire, a proud Pharisee like Saul of Tarsus or others, but oftentimes God uses whole generations and passes down through the families. And it's our accountability and our responsibility. Timothy was the man he was, humanly speaking, because of the faithfulness of his grandma and his mom. His dad evidently was a Greek. And as far as we know, he didn't even really know the Lord. But his grandma and mom made sure Timothy knew these truths. We're accountable for that. We're responsible for that. And the day and age in which we live, it takes that so lightly. It is so quick to harm the children. And again, as Dr. Malone spoke about, you know, it's all these people up there in Washington that are pushing these things on children because they're afraid it's going to make, they're going to pass on something to the older generation. Now, Dr. Malone said, this disease, whatever it is a boomer's disease. And those old boomers up there in Washington want to inoculate the kids. They don't have maybe 10 years left so that they don't catch them. You know, we're willing to, that's exactly what happened when the children were sacrificed to Moloch and the fires. It was so things would be okay for us. We'll burn our own kids. All these things are okay with us. But that was not the attitude of Timothy's grandma and mom. I trust it's not the attitude of any of God's people. Ephesians, Paul wrote to the saints in Ephesus, and he said, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We're accountable. We're responsible. I don't think we have any bigger job than that. And Paul. Okay, I'm getting confused now. But in Deuteronomy, God talks to the children of Israel. And through the laws of Moses, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Listen, you need to take, the Word of God needs to be in your heart. But then what? "And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He didn't say just, you know, when you go to church on Sunday morning, or let the Sunday school teacher take care of it. He said, you're to teach this to your children as you're on your way, as a natural part of life. You're to teach and speak these things. And I'm not saying the whole world is my children, but we kind of have that same kind of calling. I'm apt, again, to talk about history or theology or whatever when I get an opportunity. Some folks probably wish I'd shut up. But, you know, I'll be out. I'll start waxing eloquent. And some of the folks say, don't get Greg started. But that's all right. And I don't I'm not pushy on anybody, but, you know, I'm going to, as the Lord gives me opportunity to speak truth. And Moses, in the law, Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's a blessing from God, and it's an accountability and a responsibility that we have. And it ought not be taken lightly, the psalmist, Psalm 128:3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children, like olive plants, round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord blesses us, the children and grandchildren, those that we have influence of, and they're like olive plants. We're supposed to take care of them. We're supposed to guard them, protect them. I don't know all that much about raising olive plants. We planted a couple trees one time, but Lord rest their soul. There's some kind of olives that grow here in Florida, supposedly. But you got to take care of things. You got to work at it. My wife, in this old sandy soil out here, she works herself to death trying to get this stuff to grow and go. But that's the way it is. And I suppose sometimes children are sandy soil. I'm sure I was. Remember when Jacob returns and meets his brother Esau, and the whole story there, you know. Jacob's concerned about stuff and what's going to happen. Divides, and his brother's going to kill him, and whatever. But Esau, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And Jacob said, and he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Yes, God gave us these things. And in that sense as well, the scripture uses the figures and the truth. We are the children of Christ. We are the children of God. Now, we ought to learn from our Savior how we value our children. Christ valued his elect children. Listen to the words of the Lord here, speaking of the children that God gave him. Isaiah 8, you know, by prophecy, but it's the words of the Lord. It's Isaiah 8, verse 18, because we'll see another verse where it's fulfilled. But in Isaiah 8, verse 18, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." Prophetic words of Christ says, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me." We've spoken of before in that everlasting covenant that Paul speaks of. God the Father gave a people to Christ, and Christ said, I will redeem that people. And the Father accepted it. Not getting all deep in too much theology, but Christ became our suretyship then. Right then, God accepted that. We were accepted and beloved, Paul says. Even before we were regenerated. We were, because of our relationship to Adam, born dead in trespasses and sin. But we were in Christ. We don't know who's in Christ. God, he knows. "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me." Children don't decide to give themselves to their parents. See, that's the twisted theology of the day. Decide to become a child of God. How in the world would that work? He decided. And he makes it manifest. He makes it evident in time. And then in in Hebrews, again, Paul expounds upon that in Hebrews 2 and verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And Paul here is referring to fulfillment that happened in the Gospels as well. Hebrews 2 and verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God hath given me. God's the Father's gift to God the Son. That's pretty awe-inspiring, isn't it? It's pretty humbling. And then he goes on in that verse. I'd like to preach on this for a while too, but it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Okay. God gave the children to the Son, and then the children were partakers of flesh and blood. You know, they were already given to the Son. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. God became man because of those children that God the Father gave to God the Son. Listen, the Lord took that pretty serious. Paul tells us he humbled himself to become a man, yes, but even more than that, he humbled himself unto death, and even the death of a cross. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Now, Christ was given a children by God the Father. And Christ sacrificed himself for them. He didn't sacrifice them for himself. He was God. He didn't sacrifice them for himself like the modern world seeks to do, whether it be this jab or whether it be the whole abortion holocaust. No, he sacrificed himself for them. And indeed, I'll try to finish this up, I guess, and then, well, I don't know. Anyway, the Lord himself was the fruit of the womb. He was a child. God became man. God became man. He was the fruit of the womb. Luke 1 and verse 41. I'll read this, and maybe I'll pick up here again next week, and I'm sure we can probably finish it next week, unless I go on to something else. Luke 1 and verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, who's the mother of John the Baptist, who's with child, she goes to visit her cousin. Mary finds out that she's with child. When Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. John the Baptist recognized. I don't know how that all works, you know. And the way that John, I believe John was converted in the womb. Not all children are. And none of them are baptized until they make a profession of faith and show that, as John told the Pharisees, you know, show forth the fruits of repentance. But John was a very special case. And he recognized the Savior in the womb. The babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Okay. So our Lord was a child. He was the fruit of a womb. And we are his precious seed. And he values us. And as he values us, we are to value those that the Lord's given to us. God the Father gave Christ children. God the Father gives us children. And we're accountable and we're responsible. And we should learn to value as our Savior valued. And though we can't approach his sacrifice, but to sacrifice for them rather than them for us. And I pray the Lord may bring these things upon our heart and mind through this week, that by his grace we might seek to carry out those things that he's given to us and glorify him in it. Okay, we'll take our hymnals this morning and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn, number 213. O God, our help in ages past. If you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn. And again, more and more, these old hymns seem to be more and more like they were written yesterday in the world in which we live. O God, our help in ages past. Father, we thank you for this day that you've set aside as yours. The day we meet on which our Lord rose gloriously from the grave, having conquered death, having completed the full atonement for his people, even as he said on the cross, "It is finished." Lord, there's nothing we can add. There's nothing that you're waiting upon for us. It's finished. Oh, what peace and comfort that should give the children that you gave Christ. Or what peace it gives us to know that he will say, "I and the children which thy gave, I and the children which thy gave me." Lord, that he'll not lose one. He'll bring them all with him. Father, we pray that you help us to be the parents and grandparents that you would have us to be, to value those children that you've given us, and Lord, to take them as a solemn responsibility to teach and train and instruct, to guard and protect. And Lord, may you use them to your glory. Father, again, thank you for each that's here today. Pray your hand on them. Give them safe journeys home, or use them through this week and the weeks to come. We pray, Lord, for those that need healing, for those that need comfort. And we pray in the precious name of our Savior, Amen.